So what we're going to be diving into more deeply in this presentation is the charitable organizations and how you qualify and apply to be, you know, recognized under 501c3. Just some other examples of tax-exempt organizations include, you know, we mentioned the top three, and then, you know, social clubs. You know, there's, like I said, a variety, dozens. So qualified nonprofit health insurance issuers are another. You know, there are many, and they all have their own distinct requirements. So today, though, we're delving more into the charitable 501c3s. So the two big pieces to be thinking about when you're, you know, not only forming your 501c3 organization or your organization you hope to become exempt under 501c3, and then also in keeping that status, are what we call the organizational and the operational tests. So this is a snippet from the actual statute defining what an organization that's recognized under 501c3 actually is comprised of. And what you'll see underlined is this phrase, organized and operated exclusively for religious, charitable, scientific, testing for public safety, literary, and educational purposes, or et cetera, et cetera. The phrase that, you know, many of us who work in this space are intimately familiar with. And the other key part of this phrase, I suppose, it's a pretty long run-on sentence, like most of the Internal Revenue Code, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any private shareholder or individual. So these are two pretty large buckets, again, that could be their own individual presentations that we'll touch on, you know, quickly, but key to nonprofit organization formation and then ultimately applying for and maintaining your tax exemption. So the organizational test is a technical test. It involves actual wording present in your documents that you're filing at the state level. So that includes a statement of purpose that needs to be, you know, clear with that, you know, laundry list, referencing that laundry list of things, you know, charitable, education, scientific, et cetera, or one of them or all of them. We typically have them be very broad versus specific, but if it's of interest to the board, you can specify, you know, precisely what it is you plan to do. There's also a requirement, which is a dissolution clause. So that goes in your actual certificate of incorporation that explains, and the IRS has language that they like to see. So it needs to either be exact, in most cases it's exact, or something similar that explains that if the organization were to dissolve, the assets have to go to another, you know, nonprofit organization or to government for public purposes. And so, you know, this can be specific. For example, if you have a, you know, a related organization, you can specify which organization would receive the funds, but that has to be explicit in your governing documents. You know, the Form 1023, which we'll talk about a bit more later, has a number of questions that kind of get to the point of, are you organized for, you know, charitable purposes, basically? And they'll ask you to cite in your governing documents where your purpose statement is and your dissolution clause. So that's incredibly important to plan ahead for and make sure those are present. You know, state law might have other requirements for those governing documents. Supporting organizations are a separate type of public charity. We'll get into all of this, but you know, different types of nonprofits or tax-exempt charities will need different kinds of language. So those are things to keep in mind. And then in terms of the operational test, this is really how the organization is operating. And while there aren't, you know, the same technical paragraphs like there are in the organizational test, there is a lot of law and, you know, case law and regulations and whatnot that, you know, can provide some guidance around making sure you're operating exclusively for charitable purposes, which, you know, over time has come to find that exclusively doesn't actually mean 100%. You know, primarily is typically what it means. But still, you know, you need to be mostly the vast majority of your activities should be for those charitable purposes. So it part of all of this, you know, hot topics in this area, you know, private inurement, which we'll get into, but it goes back to the concept that individuals should not be profiting from a nonprofit organization. Not to say a nonprofit can't profit, of course, but individuals should not be, you know, enriched by the activities of the nonprofit. And there are lots of, you know, nuances there. Limits on lobbying sort of is another piece to this. A prohibition on political activity. And then, you know, there are different standards for different types of organizations. So hospitals have, you know, their own standards that go into meeting these tests. So when talking about charitable organizations, you know, 501c3s, the five main buckets are public charities, quasi-public charities, which we also call supporting organizations, private foundations, public safety testing entities, and governmental entities. So as we mentioned here, you know, some government entities are 501c3 organizations and some aren't. So these different kinds of buckets, when you're thinking through your formation, it makes sense to think from the very beginning which kind of 501c3 organization you want to be. Because with these different categories, there are different restrictions, there are different benefits, and there are different questions on the application for tax exemption. And so thinking through that before you even file a document, you're thinking through your fundraising strategy, really having a good business plan that helps chart your course would be incredibly beneficial.